from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And that all went really well. You know, I picked out a couple that were really obnoxious and bold. I picked out a couple that were a little more subdued, or at least I thought were subdued. She thought they were still out there a little bit, but that's fine. We got all that done. Yada, yada, yada. None of you care about that. Got the suit picked out. And then we went with, we went out and enjoyed some evening adult time with Keegan. Keegan's officiating our wedding. So we went out with Keegan to kind of discuss how we saw all that going, yada, yada, yada. And then we got to the house. Now, for some reasons I shan't disclose on the radio, Rob Brown was very grumpy yesterday, okay? He was just a grumpy boy last night. And it was just not, it was not a great day. Great show yesterday, not a great day afterwards. And so I got back to the house. I was in a bad mood. And I started doing the show prepping. And I looked at an email that I got.
It was muted.
Yeah, no, I got that.
I rebooted the entire thing and
to find out your computer was muted.
Yeah.
Muted.
It was muted.
It was muted.
Well, it's... All right, you got home.
What do you call a cow that can't make noise? Moot.
Okay, I get it. I get
See?
It.
See? Right,
dad
joke.
You got
joke.
Home. This is dad exciting joke. News.
I got
People
home.
Need to know.
Yeah, they do. Like you hear the excitement in the great one's voice. You're about to find out why. I got home and I started doing the show prep. And the way I do the show prep is I scan all the websites, I look for all the news, I scroll down the social media, and anytime I find anything that I think could be interesting for the show, I email it to myself. And then once I've gone through every website and looked at all the social and found everything I think is interesting for the show, then I open up the emails and I start banging through them until I kind of shape the show out. So I did all the emails. I sent them all to myself. I popped open my email to go look at the show topics for the day to kind of set up
the thing that we do
every single day. Yeah, the show, that thing. And, you know, there's a lot of hosts that put together like a very regimented, very strict show rundown. At 7 o'clock, we're talking about this. At 7:20, we're talking about this. At 7:40, we're talking about this. I don't really do that. Like, I more pick hours. We're going to talk about this in the 7 o'clock hour, this in the 8 o'clock hour, because I want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. And very frequently, what you guys want to talk about is not something I thought you would have wanted to talk about. So I went and I looked through the emails, and as I got to the bottom, as I was kind of trying to sort them into order of importance to the show, I saw an email from Pete, and I was like, Pete, I don't know a Pete. Weirdly enough, at 40 years old, I don't know a Pete.
Pete Yannity.
That's true. Okay, Pete Yannity is the only Pete. And in fairness,
because if I saw Pete, that would be the first person I would think
that's
of.
True. And by the way, Pete Yannity, super dude. Stellar guy.
Awesome
guy.
Yeah.
Phenomenal guy. But I see Pete at sporting events, right? Like Pete and I haven't made it to the level of let's go play some golf this weekend, right? Pete's a guy I see at the sporting event, and we shake hands and we catch up and then we go our separate ways. So I don't know any Petes that would be emailing me at 10 o'clock at night, 9:55 p.m. at night. I don't know any guy. So I open the email up, and I read the email that Pete is with the Pro League Network. Now, you may have heard of the Pro League Network. if and only if you listen to the show on Wednesday. Because on Wednesday, we mentioned the Pro League Network because the Pro League Network is a network that runs a series of professional leagues of outlandish sports. For instance, the World Mini Putt Championship. That's not the name of the league, but it's basically the world's highest level professional putt-putt. They also ran a sport called Karjitsu that we talked about.
Yeah.
Karjitsu, two dudes in the front seat of a sedan. The whistle sounds.
Now, come on. Women do it too.
Two people in the front seat of a sedan. The whistle blows. Let's get it on. And then they have a jiu-jitsu match, an MMA match, inside of a car. It's the wildest thing that I've seen in a bit. It's the first thing in sports I've seen in a very long time that I put the brakes on. And I'm like, whoa, wait, sorry. I was like, I've got to look this up. And I started watching a video. And the whistle blew. I was like, what am I looking at here? And it was two bros fighting in the front seat of a sedan. Right? So I was fascinated. I brought it up to Lonzo the next day because then I found out that in the lovely state of New Jersey, you can gamble on this. This is now officially approved by the New Jersey Gambling Commission. You can gamble on it. And I was like, do I have to go to Atlantic City now? Do I have to go to Atlanta? I've never had any interest in Atlantic City, even as a sports gambler. If I'm going to gamble, I'm either going to go right up the road to Cherokee, right? Or I'm going to go 100%. I'm going to go out to Vegas. That's it.
Yeah, but as a gambler, how is Atlantic City not on your list?
It's just not. Atlantic, I'm sorry. I've never been there, so maybe I don't have a reason to feel this way.
You can walk around and go, hey.
Atlantic City feels like knockoff Vegas, right? Feels like dollar store Vegas.
I think you're afraid of the mafia and all the times that you've impersonated someone in the mafia. and you're afraid to go to Atlantic City.
I'm really not, because you know me. I'm subtle and I blend into the background.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, like, it's nothing to do with that. I've just always looked at Atlantic. You know what Atlantic City is? Atlantic City is where you gamble if you live in New York and you don't feel like flying to Vegas. You're like, all right, might as well go to Atlantic City. It's kind of like, in all due respect, because I very much love it, it's kind of like if I'm going to gamble, I'm not going to, like, you know, go wherever into some little bitty town across the border into North Carolina. I'm going to go up to Cherokee, to a real casino, and do it. It's kind of the same thing. If I want to go big wig, I'm going to fly out to Vegas. I'm going to do a Vegas weekend, right? So that's what I've kind of felt like Atlantic City was. But now that I could put together a weekend where we go drop some dimes on Karjitsu, I'm kind of all in for it. So I get an email from Pete from the Pro League Network to put me in touch with JT Tilly. JT Tilly, a name that I did not know until yesterday. JT Tilly is the lead play-by-play commentator for the Pro League Network and the Karjitsu Championship. Pete writes, and he says, I wanted to write to see if you want to have Karjitsu play-by-play commentator and Pro League Network creative director JT Tilly on the show to answer all your questions about the sport. JT's a great personality, really good on the radio. He's also the creator of the Slap Fight Championship, which is also approved for wagering. Let me know what you think. Love the enthusiasm for the sport. Within 29 seconds, I was like, yep, I will call you tomorrow, bro. 100% done and done. Now, I've made it very clear that I'm not a Slap Fight Championship guy. It does nothing for me. And I will see if JT can win me over on this.
Yeah, because if we're having him on, we got to talk about that too.
I feel like I don't. I feel like I could go 9 segments on Karjitsu.
All right, if you want. You know, I can just ask Slap Fight questions. I mean, I'm down for that.
Here's how I see that setting up. The one question that I'm good with about slap fight is, JT, can you talk me over? Can you win me over as a slap fight guy? Because I'm not saying it's impossible, right? I will keep it at a buck. Back in the day, I was not a UFC guy. I used to call it human chicken fighting, right? I used to call it human chicken. I'm like, you lock two dudes in a cage. It's human chicken fighting.
Yeah,
I'm not interested.
I heard a lot about that back in the day, but Dana White came along and put actual rules in there.
Right. I was going to say, in fairness, it also used to be just a field of competitors and anybody could be. You had 250-pound wrestlers in there with 190-pound Taekwondo guys.
Know, the interview with Dan Severin and how he was talking about, you know,
it was effectively. It was effectively bell-to-bell anything goes, winner first one to quit or get KO'd. So I was not a fan. And then eventually it evolved a little bit, and Rob Brown came around, and now I'm a big MMA guy. Now I'm all in. Now I can break down fights with the mediocrest of them, okay? I'm a big fan. I'm in. So I'm not saying JT can't win me over. There's a strong possibility he says something that I go, oh, okay. Now I got to give it a shot. But
so you pointed out you've been won over before. So it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. I sincerely mean it when I say I am open-minded about things. I am always willing to hear arguments or discussion or new evidence. I'm willing, but I'm also going to tell you, he gets one shot at answering a slap fight championship question to win me over. One fight. He gets one shot at it. If I give him one shot, can you win me over? And it gives me an answer and he doesn't win me over, I'm going to keep it a buck and be like, yep, nope, you didn't do it. I'm not won over. I can't do it. Dudes slapping each other in the face is not a sport. I'm not in. So let's go back to car jitsu.
Women also do that. I hate to have to keep putting it in there.
Because, you know, like in the grand scheme of things, I give women credit for having more sense than to think slap you in the face until your face
more brutal.
Breaks.
They're more brutal than the guys any of that. Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I have negative interest in slap fight, and I will keep it a buck with JT when we have him on. But the point here is that we are absolutely, at some point next week, going to have on.
What was the name of this network again?
The Pro League Network. We are going to have the creative director and lead play-by-play guy for the Carjitsu Championship, JT Tilley on next week. And I'm jacked about it, man. I'm jazzed about it. We have now found something that is super niche that I do not expect that I will ever talk about on the radio again after that.
Dude, they have Major League Paintball.
They've got it's a whole network.
Yeah, I wanted to see the other sports that they have. A foot golf tour. That's weird. I don't know what foot golf is.
Exactly what it sounds like.
Pro Carom Tour, which looks like a board game.
Sure.
Ooh, they've got Beast Ball. Have you seen Beast Ball before?
I do not think so.
Oh, you need to look at Beast Ball. You like Beast Ball. Strongman Championships.
I'm in.
But Beast Ball, look it up.
We got a street ball professional league. I'm all in. By the way, foot golf, for those of you that don't know, is golf where they have a big, like, real big hole at the end, and you play golf with your feet using soccer balls, right? So instead of playing golf, you're kicking the ball around the course, but you kick it into big buckets. It's absolutely wild. They have, okay, beast ball. What's it like? It's like tackle football, but with a big football. What am I looking at here? I don't know. I got to do the research. Point here is the answer was absolutely damn yes. Do I want to have JT Tilley on to break down the intricacies of America's new favorite pastime, carjitsu? It's absolutely happening. I'm sorry. This is one of those things that maybe it's a segment I do just for me.
Do not apologize for this. We're into combat sports. This is a combat sport.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I got a hard time saying no to that. Like a real hard time saying no to that. So I'll let you know when we get that booked up, because it's absolutely happening.
Take it as a learning experience, because say someone tries to get in your car and you've been watching carjitsu, you might learn a few moves that might help restrain the perp.
What's that? You're carjacking me? Why don't you have a seat? Pick your seat. You can have either seat. Sit down, put your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Let's see who's rolling up out of here.
I now know what to do with that belt to stop you from taking my car.
It's so wild. I can't. I mean, I'm. It is the first time. I love doing this show. You know how I know you can tell I love doing the show? I get up at 3:30 in the morning to do it. I love doing this show, for sure. But I could also tell you, just every now and then, something comes along that just renews my love of the game. And this is that thing for the month of June. All right, coming up on the show today, we got a lot to get into. Braves have a very important three-game series. They are on the road at the New York Yankees, and it starts up tonight. We'll break that series down. Copa America is underway. Got underway last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta as Leo Messi and the Argentinians got a win over Canada 2-0. We will take a look at that and what the Americans need to do to have a good showing in Copa. We'll come to that. We may even discuss a little Euro championship in there while we are at it. We got some hockey. It's game 6 between the Panthers and the Oilers is tonight back in Canada. Puck drops at 8 p.m. tonight. We'll break that game down and some golf. And yes, relax, even some football. It's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you. Happy Friday, my friends. Gotta get down on Friday.
I gotta find some more Friday songs. I've been told that there are other Friday songs.
I believe there are.
I don't think there's any better than that.
Other Friday songs.
I mean, how can it be better than that? Is that Paisley, by the way?
It is Paisley.
Okay.
Thank you for noticing.
All right. Yeah.
I wondered if the shirt was going to stand
some,
out.
I had some bell bottoms like that back in the 70s. Oh. Man,
I'm a big Paisley guy. It's one of my favorite patterns. Big Paisley guy. Actually, yesterday when we were looking suits, one of the ones I looked at was the exact same color green as we ended up going with, but a Paisley pattern across the whole thing. And she said it was too much. She was right. And that's why I liked it. All right, let's get some stuff in here on the radio show today. I am interested in the Braves-Yankees series as a whole. And I'm interested because the Braves were off last night. They are on like a baby roll, like a mini roll, like a tiny roll, like a kind of roll. They're on a little bit of a roll, right? They've won 6 out of the last 7. The only one they dropped at home, an 8-6 defeat at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays. They had already won 2, and sweeping a team is hard in Major League Baseball. Then they turn around and they got Detroit. They did sweep Detroit, but here's the thing about the sweep. On one hand, you want to look at winning 6 out of 7 and go, yay, that's real good. But then I go back and I look at the wins. I look at the fact that in the win against Baltimore, you put up a 6 spot, but you put up a 0 and a 2 in the 2 losses before that. That little mini run started with a 6-3 win. You scored 7 over Tampa, 9 over Tampa, and 8 on Tampa, which is a good 3-run series, but it is also against one of the bad teams in Major League Baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays are 36-39. They are sub 500. Okay, but okay, you got to hit the ball, right? Sometimes you got to walk before you can run. Sometimes you got to get the little things right and make baby steps before you can run the marathon. But then you turn around, and in the three games against the Detroit Lions, you won a game 2-1, you won a game 2-1. Hey, you did get hot in the final one and win that game 7-0. And in fairness, you put enough guys on the bases to put up seven against Detroit's ace, Tarek Skubal, a guy that was very much in the mix and still probably is in the mix for a Cy Young Award this year. So now we take it up to the Big Apple. Now we head up to New York, and you get the 2-3-4 of the Yankees. Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Nestor Cortez. You are putting them up against the 2-3, well, really now, the 2-3-4 of the Braves, Sale, Morton, and Waldrop. The pitching matchup in all three games, with the exception of tonight, maybe, Sale versus Rodon, the pitching advantage is to the New York Yankees in all three games, okay? All three games, New York's got the better guy on the bump. Maybe it's level tonight between Sale and Rodon. This series is wildly important. It's important for the offense. Tonight's on Apple TV+, tomorrow on Fox. Sunday is not scheduled to be nationally broadcast. It is an afternoon game at 1:35 in the evening. So, this series to me is wildly important, but it is wildly important to the offense. This is about getting the bats going. Because if you rely on winning 2-1 games, if you rely on winning 4-3 games, and you go up to Yankee Stadium, you're going to have a bad time. Okay? You're just going to have a bad time. So, I think this is a series where we're going to learn today.
Daggum.
We're going to learn today. I think this is a series where we will learn if this little mini run for the Braves is real or if this little mini run for the Braves is taking place just because you had a run of bad teams, right? The Detroit Tigers are 34-40. They are well below 500 as well. The Rays, as we mentioned, 36-39, well below 500. This series is going to determine if the Atlanta Braves really are finding something, really are getting there, really are turning this whole thing around, or if the Atlanta Braves are kind of have a flash in the pan against the bad teams. Aaron Judge is a juggernaut right now. Giancarlo Stanton right now is one of the best under pressure hitters that we have seen in a very long time. Giancarlo Stanton came up the other night, and I think he had like two hits in two of his final ABs, both with two outs, both of them to keep the Yankees alive. They ended up losing the game against Baltimore, but he kept them alive. He sent them to overtime two nights ago. Now, they got the hell beat out of them last night, and this should be, I think, at least a little encouraging for the Atlanta Braves. The Orioles last night, a team that will absolutely be contending with the New York Yankees for the AL East when the season comes to its conclusion, they put a 17 spot up on the Yankees last night. 17 spot, 17 runs. They scored in every inning of the baseball game with the exception of the fourth inning, and they put up a 6 spot in the second inning to start the blowout. It stayed that way throughout the rest of the contest. The Yanks never even threatened. They took Luis Gil, who has been a Gila monster for the New York Yankees. That joke works if you recognize his last name is spelled with a G. They took Heel last night, and they shredded him. This is a man who was the best the Yankees have had in a very long time.
Gila Monster also spelled with a G.
Correct.
That's what you... Okay, all right.
There it is. They took this cat. They took this cat who has been arguably the best pitcher, not just for the Yankees, but over the past month and a half, maybe 2 months, arguably the best pitcher in the American League. And they shredded him last night, right? So the chance is real, but also that was the anomaly for the Yankees, not the norm. What I don't need is the Braves to look at a 17-7, 17-6 scoreline from last night and think to themselves, oh, we got this. We're good. Right? They got shredded last night. They got cooked last night. We just got to go up there and do what Baltimore did. Yeah, you did. But Baltimore, it turns out, is really, really good. And the Braves are just kind of a little good. I got to see this team. I'm not saying win the series. It's going to be a real tough series to win. The New York Yankees have been floating around consistently with one of the best records in baseball, not in the American League, in baseball all year long. They have 51 wins right now. Do you know what other teams have 51 wins so far? None. Not one. They are 51 and 26 right now. They're 23 and 12 at the house. They don't lose at home. They have 50. And by the way, the Orioles team that beat them last night has 49 wins. Do you know how many teams outside of the AL East have 49 wins? One, the Philadelphia Phillies. A team that is starting to loom on the Braves schedule. A team that the Braves will see for the first time since opening weekend coming up on, shockingly enough, 4th of July weekend. So, this series is massively important for Atlanta's offense. I have got to see this team start to get comfortable at the dish. And this is a good opportunity because, again, you're getting the Yankees 2-3-4. So you are going to see real good, real good, real good, but not dominant. Nestor Cortez is having a good year. That's the third pitcher you're going to face. Nasty Nestor is 4-5. He has a 3.36 ERA. He is K'd 86, right? He's hanging around the best 25, 30 pitchers in baseball this year. It's not a bad spot. Carlos Rodon, who you're going to get out of the gate, 9-3, but a 3.28 ERA, 81 Ks. He's third in overall record off the bump, so he's very efficient. But statistically speaking, he's hanging around 25 to 35th best pitcher in Major League Baseball right now. Very good, but not untouchable. Marcus Stroman, 6-3, a 3.08 ERA, 61 Ks. A guy that is not getting a bunch of Ks. He's going to serve you up a bunch of stuff that you can knock around the ballpark. But he's also very efficient off the dish with an ERA closer to 3 than the other two guys, right? These are three pitchers that are hittable. These are three pitchers that are in the upper echelon of pitchers, but they're not the most dynamic, right? None of these guys are inside the top 5, 6, 7, 10 pitchers in baseball. So it is a gambit of pitchers. Oh, by the way, a hell of a lineup the Yankees have put together. Hell of a lineup the Yankees have put together. If the Braves want a chance to, let's set the bar real low, not get swept. That, to me, honestly, that's the bar for this weekend if you're Atlanta on the road at New York. The goal is don't get swept. If you have a goal of don't get swept, the reality here is you're going to have to score runs because the Yankees are. Judge is mashing. Stanton is mashing. They do have some injuries. They do have some guys that are going to be missing. We know that Rizzo is going to be out for some time, right? But Judge is back. Aaron Judge played in the game last night. He did sit out on the Wednesday game. He played last night back in the lineup. But Volpe in the leadoff spot is dangerous. Juan Soto is going to make a case for AL MVP if Judge is slowed down by the hand injury. Giancarlo Stanton is as dangerous of a cleanup hitter as there is in baseball. Verdugo, Torres, LeMahieu. The only two weak spots in the lineup here, arguably, are Trevino and Oswaldo Cabrera at the 8-9 spot. But I'll tell you, if the only two outs you feel comfortable with are at 8-9, not ideal. Not great, Bob. So the goal for me for Atlanta this weekend is don't get swept by the Yankees. If you don't get swept, this is a successful trip. Bar's real low, Atlanta. But I got to see the bats come alive if you want a shot at making it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I mean, I don't hate it at all. All right, song's a banger.
I just want to see if I can mix that and make it sound okay, which I did because award winner. How y'all doing?
So, let's talk some footy, some football, some American football. We're going to talk actual footy later on in the show. I'm very excited about talking footy. Copa America underway. The Americans game numero uno against Bolivia will take place on Sunday, 6 p.m., live from Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. Game number one took place last night. Argentina, led by Leo Messi, got a 2-0 win over America's Hat yesterday evening in the ATL. A game that I got to tell you, about 5 p.m. yesterday, I thought, if I leave now, I can make it. I can make it over to the ATL. I was very close to going to watch Messi play. I have still not seen Leo Messi play in person since his debut in America. And I'm a little disappointed in myself for that. Could have fixed it last night, but decided for the sake of today's show, I wouldn't. Because that game would have ended at 10. I'd have got out of there at 11. I wouldn't have got home till like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And even I am asleep at that point. So you're welcome. You're welcome. Phil Steele is... So I like Phil Steele.
Is it that time of year?
It's that time, dude. Magazine dropped this week and unloaded hashtag content for radio show host in the Southeastern Conference footprint for the next few weeks. How about this? Phil Steele, I don't know, did he take the easy way out? He said across the Atlantic Coast Conference, he projects a tie between Clemson and Florida State for the top of the conference. Steele ranks the Tigers atop the ACC projections alongside Florida State. A write-up from On3 Sports about the projection says, Steele ranks Tigers atop the ACC projections following what was a down year for Clemson compared to their usual standards, finishing last season 9-4, which was their lowest win total for a season since 2010, following 12 consecutive double-digit win seasons. Clemson returned starting quarterback Cade Klubnik, who could be poised to take a jump entering his second full season as a starter, but with head coach Dabo Swinney's lack of transfer portal use this offseason, all eyes will be on the Tigers to show how they perform. Also, as Florida State, although Steele does say that he gives the slight edge to Clemson, said on 3 Sports, FSU trails right behind Clemson after winning last year's ACC title to snap a dry spell that lasted nearly a decade. Now tasked with rebuilding a talented roster that had 10 selections in the most recent NFL draft, former Clemson and Oregon State quarterback DJ Uiagalelei headlines the Noles transfer portal additions this offseason. A dual threat weapon coming off of his best season to date, who will represent the first quarterback not named Jordan Travis of the Mike Norvell era. So he's got Clemson and Florida State basically neck and neck in this conference. The interesting thing is he's got Miami right there as well. Says Miami rounds out Steele's top tier of teams in the ACC following an impressive offseason of recruiting in the transfer portal as head coach Mario Cristobal enters the 24th season with his most talented roster to date during his tenure with the Hurricanes. Expectations are high as they've been in quite some time in Coral Gables as all eyes will be on Washington State transfer quarterback Cam Ward to take Miami over the hump with the best quarterback play they've had in years with a high potential squad. Here's the reality, my dudes and my dudettes. It is June 21st. We are still months away from the start of the season. And I think this is about as fair as you can be for these squads. The reality for me is any knock against all three teams, with the exception of DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State, any knock against all three teams is narrative driven. If the biggest knock that you've got against Clemson is Dabo didn't jump in the portal, that's a narrative driven knock. Now, you can say that that narrative translates to what the roster actually looks like, and I won't disagree. There is absolutely a fact out there that the two teams that are in that potential ACC champion list with Clemson. Both boosted their roster with the portal. Now, is Florida State guaranteed to be the spot where DJ Uiagalelei breaks out and becomes the dude that Clemson thought he was going to be when he was there? Not at all. It's not a guarantee, right? Is there any guarantee that Cam Ward, in a, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a step up in difficulty from Washington State to Miami, from the dying rotten carcass of the Pac-12 to the Atlantic Coast Conference, is going to translate to being a stud? No, no guarantee about that. There's also no guarantee that Cade Klubnik is going to turn a corner. But the point is, I think the knock against all of these teams, by and large, is narrative-driven. Now, narratives can absolutely be a reason that a thing goes sideways. What's Miami's knock? They ain't done it yet. They've had a load of talented quarterbacks come through. They've had a load of talent the last few years. But as I have pointed out, this is a team that 2 years ago in 2023 was expected to have turned a corner. This was a team that 2 years ago was expected to be dominant, and that team gave the hell up on Mario Cristobal. A team straight up gave up.
How much hype was around for that, too?
I mean, pretty good amount, right?
I mean, to the point where you're almost starting to believe, okay, maybe they are going to be back. And then they had to play.
They stank.
Then they had to play football, and that part they didn't do well.
2022, they stank. They quit. And I will tell you, when a team outright quit, and I talked about this at length at the time, when a team outright quits on a coach, I got a hard time believing that that coach is going to suddenly get it turned around, right? They got beat 16-42 by Pitt. Clemson hung a 40 burger on them as well. Florida State put up 45. Virginia nearly beat them that year. So then they turn around in 2023, last year, the Miami Canes, all due respect to my Canes fans out there, and they dropped 4 of their last 5. They got beat 20-6 by NC State. Florida State was the only game, honestly, that they looked like they fought. Florida State beat them by a tutty. They got beat by a tutty by Louisville at home. Boston College beat them by 25, and then they lost to Rutgers in the bowl game. Rutgers. Sorry, State College of New Jersey fans. Rutgers. So they become one of those teams, much like is the annual discussion around Mississippi and Mississippi State. Well, this is the year. This is the year they break out. This is the year they turn the... I believe it when I see it. I will believe that State and the Rebs are going to become conference contenders when they're conference contenders. I believe they're going to play for an SEC title when I see them in Atlanta. But they do this every year, and that's how I feel about Miami. But again, that's a narrative. If we are looking at every variable and we are doing so specifically based on what is on paper, Miami absolutely should be good. Miami absolutely should be a contender. But it's a team I've seen quit in the last 2 years. This is a team that last year, when things got... It is a team that, under Mario Cristobal, it is a team that the first time they get punched in the mouth, they fold like a Jenga tower. Just collapse. It's not a great impression of what a Jenga tower sounds like.
Yeah, but we all saw it.
You know what I was going for.
And I mean, everyone saw it.
I ended up sounding more like freaking Donald Duck than it did a Jenga
tower.
Well,
it's a cartoon version of a Jenga tower. Let's go with that.
So, again, the knock against all three teams at the top of the ACC is narrative. For me, the FSU argument, Got to restock a loaded roster, or what was a loaded roster. Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, Jordan Travis, Benson. I mean, they've lost a ton of talent from last year. They also got a lot of talent in. And that's the story against the narrative for. The narrative for Florida State is Mike Norvell has now proven that he can build a really good roster out of the portal, right? The narrative against Miami is what? They quit. They get punched in the mouth and they fold. The narrative for Miami is, on paper, they've got one of, if not, I mean, they might have one of the most talented rosters nationally, Miami. It's a very good roster. And Mario Cristobal has succeeded everywhere else. Does not guarantee he's going to here. If you think Miami has laid down and quit the last couple of years because they have adopted the mentality of their head coach, that's a problem. But on paper, they look like they should be right up there with the Noles and the Tigers. And then there's Clemson. There's Clemson. You got Cade Klubnik's second year as a full-time starter. He's now got a year of experience under his belt. Experience matters. Number two, I think by and large, most of us feel like there's been an upgrade across the offensive line. Most of us feel like, despite the fact that I love Will Shipley. Will Shipley was one of my favorite college running backs that I've ever gotten to watch. All right? I enjoyed watching that guy. I was at the game 2 years ago when Florida State came to town. FSU had Clemson on the ropes. And Shipley put that team on his back and dragged them to a win. But I think last year, at the end of the year, we learned Phil Moffa's the better running back. Will Shipley's more talented. He's more versatile. But when it comes to turn around, put the ball into the gut of the guy that is going to run it and let him go, Seven's the guy. Moffa's the guy. I think we learned that. And now Clemson can lean on that. Obviously, you got questions about the wide receiver core. Is there a guy that's going to break out? We saw some spots of brilliance out of Tyler Brown. Can he be that guy again? They still got to find some dudes. But it is Cade Klubnik's second year. It is Garrett Riley's second year. I'm not saying Garrett Riley was maybe a little overwhelmed by the jump up to the expectations of Clemson. But I think being overwhelmed would be a natural and understandable reality, no matter how confident that guy was in himself. Now he's got a year. Now he's worked with Dabo for a year. Now he's stood on the sidelines in Death Valley. Now he's heard the chipping from the Clemson fans who are dissatisfied with where the program's been the last couple of years. Does he calm down a little bit? Is he a little more confident in his play calling? To me, it is too early to make the call about which team is best in the conference, because I've got a very good narrative against each, but I've also got a very realistic reason why you should burn that narrative. With Miami, the narrative is they've collapsed every year under the pressure. With Miami, the narrative counter is, but that roster is sick, dude. With Florida State, the narrative is they lost too much talent to be good. The counter to the narrative is, yeah, but Mike Norvell has built three consecutive real good rosters out of the portal. Rosters that at the beginning of the year, much like last year. Quick, how many people last year called Florida State to be a playoff team? None of us did. None of us did.
And they weren't.
Shut up, Lonzo. Who asked you? Who asked you? They were absolutely a playoff team. A playoff team that did not get into the playoffs, but a playoff team nonetheless. Point here is, okay, let's rephrase that. How many people you know called Florida State to be undefeated last year? None.
None.
None. Not a person.
I don't think you did.
I did not.
So, I mean,
you did not. Mark Ryan did not. Diesel did not. Phil Steele did not. No, but nobody did. All right? Josh Pate did not. Nobody thought that was going to happen. That's the counter to the narrative. This is exactly where they were last year. Last year, there were huge doubts about Jordan Travis. He had that team undefeated till his leg exploded. Last year, there were huge doubts about Johnny Wilson. Became an elite threat down the sideline. Last year, there were thoughts about Keon Coleman. And then there's Clemson. Doubts about Cade Klubnik. Is it really that guy? Clemson, it feels like Clemson has missed a number of times in a row on quarterbacks. But counter to that, it's now year number two. He got thrown into the fire with the failure of DJ Uiagalelei. Thrown into the fire. Now he's had time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It at all. All right? Song's a banger.
I just want to see if I can mix that and make it sound okay, which I did because award winner. How y'all doing?
So, let's talk some footy. Some football, some American football. We're going to talk actual footy later on in the show. I'm very excited about talking footy. Copa America underway. The Americans game numero uno against Bolivia will take place on Sunday, 6 p.m., live from Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. Game number one took place last night. Argentina, led by Leo Messi, got a 2-0 win over America's hat yesterday evening in the ATL. A game that I got to tell you, about 5 p.m. yesterday, I thought, if I leave now, I can make it. I can make it over to the ATL. I was very close to going to watch Messi play. I have still not seen Leo Messi play in person since his debut in America. And I'm a little disappointed in myself for that. Could have fixed it last night, but decided for the sake of today's show, I wouldn't. Because that game would have ended it. 10, I'd have got out of there at 11. I wouldn't have got home till like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And even I am asleep at that point. So, you're welcome. You're welcome. Phil Steele is... So I like Phil Steele.
Is it that time of year?
It's that time, dude. Magazine dropped this week and unloaded hashtag content for radio show host in the Southeastern Conference footprint. For the next few weeks. How about this? Phil Steele, I don't know, did he take the easy way out? He said across the Atlantic Coast Conference, he projects a tie between Clemson and Florida State for the top of the conference. Steele ranks the Tigers atop the ACC projections alongside Florida State. A write-up from On3 Sports about the projection says, Steele ranks Tigers atop the ACC projections following what was a down year for Clemson compared to their usual standards, finishing last season 9-4, which was their lowest win total for a season since 2010, following 12 consecutive double-digit win seasons. Clemson returned starting quarterback Cade Klubnik, who could be poised to take a jump entering his second full season as a starter, but with head coach Dabo Swinney's lack of transfer portal use this offseason, all eyes will be on the Tigers to show how they perform. Also, as Florida State... Although Steele does say that he gives the slight edge to Clemson, said on 3 Sports, FSU trails right behind Clemson after winning last year's ACC title to snap a dry spell that lasted nearly a decade. Now tasked with rebuilding a talented roster that had 10 selections in the most recent NFL draft, former Clemson and Oregon State quarterback DJ Uiagalelei headlines the Noles transfer portal additions this offseason. A dual threat weapon coming off of his best season to date, who will represent the first quarterback not named Jordan Travis of the Mike Norvell era. So he's got Clemson and Florida State basically neck and neck in this conference. The interesting thing is he's got Miami right there as well. says Miami rounds out Steele's top tier of teams in the ACC following an impressive offseason of recruiting in the transfer portal as head coach Mario Cristobal enters the 24th season with his most talented roster to date during his tenure with the Hurricanes. Expectations are high as they've been in quite some time in Coral Gables as all eyes will be on Washington State transfer quarterback Cam Ward to take Miami over the hump with the best quarterback play they've had in years with a high potential squad. Here's the reality, my dudes and my dudettes. It is June 21st. We are still months away from the start of the season. And I think this is about as fair as you can be for these squads. The reality for me is any knock against all three teams, with the exception of DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State, any knock against all three teams is narrative driven. If the biggest knock that you've got against Clemson is Dabo didn't jump in the portal, that's a narrative driven knock. Now, you can say that that narrative translates to what the roster actually looks like, and I won't disagree. There is absolutely a fact out there that the two teams that are in that potential ACC champion list with Clemson both boosted their roster with the portal. Now, is Florida State guaranteed to be the spot where DJ Uiagalelei breaks out and becomes the dude that Clemson thought he was going to be when he was there? Not at all. It's not a guarantee, right? Is there any guarantee that Cam Ward, in a, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a step up in difficulty from Washington State to Miami, from the dying rotten carcass of the Pac-12 to the Atlantic Coast Conference, is going to translate to being a stud? No, no guarantee about that. There's also no guarantee that Cade Klubnik is going to turn a corner. But the point is, I think the knock against all of these teams, by and large, is narrative driven. Now, narratives can absolutely be a reason that a thing goes sideways. What's Miami's knock? They ain't done it yet. They've had a load of talented quarterbacks come through. They've had a load of talent the last few years. But as I have pointed out, this is a team that 2 years ago in 2023 was expected to have turned a corner. This was a team that 2 years ago was expected to be dominant. And that team gave the hell up on Mario Cristobal. A team straight up gave up.
How much hype was around for that, too?
I mean, pretty good amount, right?
I mean, to the point where you're almost starting to believe, okay, maybe they are going to be back. And then they had to play.
They stank.
Then they had to play football, and that part they didn't do well.
2022, they stank. They quit. And I will tell you, when a team outright quit, and I talked about this at length at the time, when a team outright quits on a coach, I got a hard time believing that that coach is going to suddenly get it turned around, right? They got beat 16-42 by Pitt. Clemson hung a 40 burger on them as well. Florida State put up 45. Virginia nearly beat them that year. So then they turn around in 2023, last year, the Miami Canes, all due respect to my Canes fans out there, and they dropped four of their last five. They got beat 20-6 by NC State. Florida State was the only game, honestly, that they looked like they fought. Florida State beat them by a tutty. They got beat by a tutty by Louisville at home. Boston College beat them by 25, and then they lost to Rutgers in the bowl game. Rutgers. Sorry, State College of New Jersey fans. Rutgers. So, they become one of those teams, much like is the annual discussion around Mississippi and Mississippi State. Well, this is the year. This is the year they break out. This is the year they turn the... I believe it when I see it. I believe it when I see it. I will believe that State and the Rebs are going to become conference contenders when they're conference contenders. I believe they're going to play for an SEC title when I see them in Atlanta. But they do this every year, and that's how I feel about Miami. But again, that's a narrative. If we are looking at every variable and we are doing so specifically based on what is on paper, Miami absolutely should be good. Miami absolutely should be a contender. But it's a team I've seen quit in the last 2 years. This is a team that last year, when things got... It is a team that, under Mario Cristobal, it is a team that the first time they get punched in the mouth, they fold like a Jenga tower. Just collapse. It's not a great impression of what a Jenga tower sounds like.
Yeah, but we all saw it.
You know what I was going for.
And I mean, everyone saw it. Yeah.
I ended up sounding more like freaking Donald Duck than it did a Jenga tower.
Well, it's a cartoon version of a Jenga tower. Let's go with that. Fall.
So, again, the knock against all three teams at the top of the ACC is narrative. For me, the FSU argument, got to restock a loaded roster, or what was a loaded roster. Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, Jordan Travis, Benson. I mean, they've lost a ton of talent from last year. They also got a lot of talent in. And that's the story against the narrative for. The narrative for Florida State is Mike Norvell has now proven that he can build a really good roster out of the portal, right? The narrative against Miami is what? They quit. They get punched in the mouth and they fold. The narrative for Miami is on paper, they've got one of, if not, I mean, they might have one of the most talented rosters nationally, Miami. It's a very good roster. And Mario Cristobal has succeeded everywhere else. Does not guarantee he's going to here. If you think Miami has laid down and quit the last couple of years because they have adopted the mentality of their head coach, that's a problem. But on paper, they look like they should be right up there with the Noles and the Tigers. And then there's Clemson. There's Clemson. You got Cade Klubnik's second year as a full-time starter. He's now got a year of experience under his belt. Experience matters. Number two, I think by and large, most of us feel like there's been an upgrade across the offensive line. Most of us feel like, despite the fact that, and I mean this, despite the fact that I love Will Shipley, Will Shipley was one of my favorite college running backs that I've ever gotten to watch, all right? I enjoyed watching that guy. I was at the game 2 years ago when Florida State came to town. FSU had Clemson on the ropes, and Shipley put that team on his back and dragged them to a win. But I think last year, at the end of the year, we learned Phil Moffa's the better running back. Will Shipley's more talented. He's more versatile. But when it comes to turn around, put the ball into the gut of the guy that is going to run it and let him go, Seven's the guy. Moffa's the guy. I think we learned that. And now Clemson can lean on that. Obviously, you got questions about the wide receiver core. Is there a guy that's going to break out? We saw some spots of brilliance out of Tyler Brown. Can he be that guy again? They still got to find some dudes. But it is Cade Klubnik's second year. It is Garrett Riley's second year. I'm not saying Garrett Riley was maybe a little overwhelmed by the jump up to the expectations of Clemson. But I think being overwhelmed would be a natural and understandable reality, no matter how confident that guy was in himself. Now he's got a year. Now he's worked with Dabo for a year. Now he's stood on the sidelines in Death Valley. Now he's heard the chipping from the Clemson fans who are dissatisfied with where the program's been the last couple of years. Does he calm down a little bit? Is he a little more confident in his play calling? To me, It is too early to make the it's too early to make the call about which team is best in the conference, because I've got a very good narrative against each, but I've also got a very realistic reason why you should burn that narrative. With Miami, the narrative is they've collapsed every year under the pressure. With Miami, the narrative counter is, but that roster is sick, dude. With Florida State, the narrative is they lost too much talent to be good. The counter to the narrative is, yeah, but Mike Norvell has built three consecutive real good rosters out of the portal. Rosters that at the beginning of the year, much like last year. Quick, how many people last year called Florida State to be a playoff team? None of us did. None of us did.
And they weren't.
Shut up, Lonzo. Who asked you? Who asked you? They were absolutely a playoff team. A playoff team that did not get into the playoffs, but a playoff team nonetheless. Point here is, okay, let's rephrase that. How many people you know called Florida State to be undefeated last year? None.
None.
None. Not a person.
I don't think you did.
I did not.
So, I mean,
you did not. Mark Ryan did not. Diesel did not. Phil Steele did not. No, but nobody did. All right? Josh Pate did not. Nobody thought that was going to happen. That's the counter to the narrative. This is exactly where they were last year. Last year, there were huge doubts about Jordan Travis. He had that team undefeated till his leg exploded. Last year, there were huge doubts about Johnny Wilson. Became an elite threat down the sideline. Last year, there were thoughts about Keon Coleman. And then there's Clemson. Doubts about Cade Klubnik. Is it really that guy? Clemson, it feels like Clemson has missed a number of times in a row on quarterbacks. But counter to that, it's now year number two. He got thrown into the fire with the failure of DJ Uiagalelei. Thrown into the fire. Now he's had time to cook a little bit. Has he gotten to that spot? Garrett Riley, offensive coordinator, a guy that understandably and justifiably Clemson fans were stoked about. First year in. Maybe some butterflies, right? Maybe some nerves. That's a big job with lofty expectations. Now he's got a year under the belt. Now he's played under that. Now he's coordinated under those expectations. Is he a little more comfortable? All three teams, big time narratives against. All three teams, in my opinion, real good arguments why those narratives will fall. Lonzo, put them 1, 2, 3. What's the finishing order of the ACC this year? Florida State, Clemson, Miami.
Yes.
Is that the order you put them in?
Yes.
Okay. It's fine by me, honestly. I think as of right now, I would have to say the same thing. I do not trust Miami. All right. I gave you the counter to the narrative, which is the roster's really good, but the roster's been really good the last couple of years and they've collapsed under the pressure. So I'll put them third. I've given you the counter to the arguments about Cade Klubnik, but did you see anything that jumped off the paper last year that said there's a turnaround coming? Phil Moff is the guy. If Clemson's going to win this conference, Phil Moff is the guy. But I'll put them two, and I'll put FSU one. It is June.
There were moments of old Clemson in there.
Sure.
In a game here or there.
For sure.
So if they can find that and for more games than what they did last year, which they should be able to, I mean, number two is not out
It's not
of
bad
reach.
At all.
No.
It's not bad at all. And I'll tell straight up, just so we're clear on the same page, Clemson absolutely can beat Florida State and win this conference. Florida State's got to reload. And just because they reloaded last year and they were able to break out Keon Coleman, take Jordan Travis around the corner, yada, 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 does not mean DJ is going to show up there and be DJ. He might not be the DJ that they need next year. He might just be DJ. Nope, not that one. Just regular old DJ. He might be, but he also might just be DJ. And if he's just DJ, they're gonna be in trouble. We'll find out. Ladies and gentlemen, I almost said the DJ Uiagalelei of sports flashes. But that's not true. Because, yeah, we do have super high five-star expectations out of Lonzo. But he delivers like this.
I think that's actually pretty accurate. J.J. Redick will be the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, agreeing to a four-year contract. Financial terms of the agreement were not disclosed. Redick played 15 years in the league and has been working as an analyst for ESPN since his retirement. The Lakers say they'll surround Redick with a cast of experienced assistant coaches. Speaking of the NBA offseason, it is underway and moves are already being made. Guard Malik Monk was thought to be a prize free agent, but signed a 4-year, $78 million deal to stay with the Kings. The Bulls and Thunder made a deal that will see all defensive team guard Alex Caruso moved to Oklahoma City and in return for guard Josh Giddey. Hey, make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel, both of them, get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.